Friends, we now go on to the next chapter, that is the foreign trade transactions, especially the bankings, interbank transactions. As importers, exporters, you give your documents to the bank, but what happens with respect to each of your different types of documents as far as interbank transactions are concerned, and how the currency, foreign currency, is transferred from one country to another over long distances, and what are the other interbank documents, and what are the meanings of some of the documents involved as far as you are concerned. We'll deal with these one by one.
And we will look at the topics covered, like foreign currency convertibility, bank financial instruments, international bank account number, SWIFT, that is the settlement exchange system known as SWIFT. We will also look at Asian Currency Union, that is also another form of settlement payment. New Development Bank, which has been created by a group of countries, South to South countries. And then, of course, the rupee denominated trade. These are the topics which would be covered.
When we look at the foreign currency convertibility, as far as capital account is concerned, as I told you before, for a Reserve Bank of India exercise a system of capital controls in addition to the currency markets. Foreign institutional investors have convertibility to bring money into and out of the country and buy securities, subject, of course, to quantitative restrictions. And local firms are also able to take capital out of the country in order to expand globally. And then even current account, I've explained to you also before, that there are no currency conversion restrictions hindering buying or selling of foreign exchange. Although trade barriers exist, these barriers are for trade and not for sale of foreign currency. And of course, our Indian rupee has got a market determined exchange rate. RBI, the central bank, has not followed a policy of pegging the Indian rupee to a specific foreign currency at a particular exchange rate. No. Though the Reserve Bank of India trades actively in US dollar and Indian rupee currency markets to impact effective exchange rate. Why? Because the United States dollar is the most actively traded as far as Indian rupee is concerned. Most of our export and import documents, invoices, are in US dollars. Currency regime in place for Indian rupee with respect to US dollar is a de facto controlled exchange rate. And Reserve Bank of India intervention in currency markets solely to ensure a low volatile exchange rate and not to influence the rate of exchange, that is the rate of Indian currency in relation to any other currency. Yes, slowly we are trying to move to full de facto convertibility, open market convertibility of our Indian rupees with all the other currencies. This will take some time. Foreign exchange or forex? What is it actually? It is the conversion of one country's currency into that of another country's currency. In a free economy, a country's currency is valued according to factors of supply and demand. That is, a currency's value can be pegged to another currency's currency, such as the US dollar, or even to a basket of currencies like the euro. A country's currency value also may be fixed by the country's government. And most countries float their currencies freely against those of other currencies, which keep them in constant fluctuation, like what we are doing. And the value of the particular currency is determined by market forces based on trade, investment, tourism, etc., etc. Controls. Important factor of demand occurs when a foreign company seeks to do business with a company in a specific country. The foreign company will have to make payment to the local company in their local currency. It may also be desirable for investors from one country to invest in another, and that investment would have to be made in the local currency as well. And these are the main reasons why there's a need of foreign exchange and why the foreign exchange markets are so large. I can tell you that apart from doing the foreign trade transactions or international trade amongst goods and services, today there's a lot of trading being done only in the foreign currency market. That means currency of one country is traded with currency of another country, and this market is really very large. We will deal with this in a later chapter. Foreign currency is handled globally between banks, and all transactions will fall under auspices of the Bank of International Settlement. Controls. Yes, there are various forms of controls imposed by government on such transactions. Common controls. First, all transactions routed through banking channel only. Banning use of foreign currency within country. Banning locals from processing foreign country. I've explained to you before also, but I'm repeating it because so that you now understand how it is connected with the interbank transaction. Restricting currency exchange to government approved exchanges and authorized dealers, and restrictions on amount of currency that may be imported or exported. IMF agreement has allowed exchange controls for transaction economies. And later on, free trade globalization started, trend towards economic liberalization. In India, all foreign exchange transactions fall under FEMA 1999, and importers and exporters have to open an account with a bank in India designated as authorized dealer in foreign exchange, and this bank has to have an AD code number. And importers, exporters have to transact all the foreign trade transactions through these accounts only. I have explained this before also. Export credit insurance is required to protect exporters from consequence of payment risk, both political and commercial, and this is done by ECGC. They give credit, export credit insurance. Various policies, requirements of Indian exporters and commercial banks. And ECG is also an export promotion organization to improve competitive capacity of Indian exporters for credit insurance coverage. Objectives of ECGC: encourage, facilitate globalization of India's trade, to assist Indian exporters in managing their credit risk by providing information on worthiness of the buyers, bankers, and countries. I'm taking this a bit fast because I've already explained to you before, but I'm just recapitulating the whole thing to bring it to the present condition. To protect Indian exporters against unforeseen losses which may arise due to failure of buyers, bank, or problems faced by the country of the buyer, and providing cost-effective credit insurance covers in the form of policy factoring, etc., and facilitate bank finance to Indian exporters by providing surety insurance covers for bankers at a competitive rate. Facilities. ECGC provides range of credit risk insurance covers to exporters against loss in exports of goods and services. Offer export credit insurance covers to banks and financial institutions to enable exporters to obtain better facilities. Provide overseas investment insurance to Indian companies investing in joint ventures, etc. Offers insurance protection to exporters against payment risks. Make available information on different countries with its own credit rating arrangements. And above all, it makes it easy to obtain export finance from banks and financial institutions. It assists exporters in recovering bad debts and provides information on creditworthiness of overseas buyers. Exim Bank of India, or again, I've explained this also previously, but recapitulate again here. Exim Bank or Export Import Bank of India is the premium export finance institution in India. It is a key player in promotion of cross-border trade and investment. It started off as export credit agency but evolved into an institution that plays a very major role in partnering with the Indian industries. It particularly helps the SMEs to expand to their globalization efforts, and they offer a wide range of services at all stages to the business cycle, right from import of technology, export product development, export production, marketing, reshipment, postshipment, and overseas investment. Now, when we go to trade finance, this represents the financial instruments that are used by companies to facilitate international trade and commerce. And it is makes it possible and easier for importers, exporters to transact business through trade. It covers many financial products that banks and companies utilize to make your trade transaction feasible. This makes it possible and easier for importers and exporters to transact their business mutually through trade. It also helps reducing the risk associated with global trade by reconciling the divergent needs of an exporter with the divergent needs of the exporter. The basic function is to introduce a third party to transactions to remove the payment risk and supply risk. It provides the exporter with payment according to the agreement, while the importer might be extended credit to fulfill the trade order. Parties involved in this kind of a transaction are banks, trade finance companies, importers and exporters. Yes, those importers and exporters who are able to do self-financing. Then insurers, export credit agencies, and other service providers. This type of finance may be used to protect against international trade's inherent risk, especially in relating to the currency fluctuation or the political instability or issue of non-payment or creditworthiness of any one of the parties involved in the transaction trade. There are a wide range of issues. When we look at some of the instruments which normally you can use if you want to do business on a large scale, then one, lending lines of credits is issued by banks to help both importers and exporters. LCs or letter of credit, they reduce the risk associated with global trade.
since the buyer's bank guarantees payment to the seller for the goods shipped. The buyer here is also protected since payment will not be made unless the terms of the LC are met by the seller. And above all, both parties have to honor the agreement for the transaction as brought out in the export contract and the documentary credit or LC. Mind you, the LC is an extension of the export contract. We have another financing arrangement known as factoring. It is when companies are paid by a third party based on a percentage of their accounts which they have got to receive in an international transaction. Export credit or working capital can be supplied to exporters. Insurance can be used for shipping and delivery of goods and can also protect the exporters from non-payment by the buyer. That is marine insurance for shipment purposes and ECGC or Exim Bank insurance from non-payment of the buyer. Of course, under normal transaction, best exporter would always prefer that importer pays immediately for an export shipment so that there are no risks after exporter takes their shipment and refuses to pay for the goods. If the importer pays exporter upfront, the exporter may accept payment but refuse to ship the goods. So here there is a danger to the importer also. So therefore, the trade finance system helps both of them, giving them common solution. Importers bank provides LC to exporters bank and provides for payment once the exporter presents documents that prove shipment occurred with a bill of lading. This letter of credit guarantees that once issuing bank receives proof that exporter has shipped the goods and the terms of the agreements have been met, it will issue the payment to the exporter. This is one of the biggest formats for trade finance as far as importers and exports are concerned. This helps companies to obtain financing to facilitate their business, but is also an extension of credit in many cases. Why? Because on the basis of this LC, the exporter can take pre-shipment and post-shipment credits. Trade finance ensures fewer delays in payments and in shipments. Why? Because both parties are interested in completing their transactions when they know that they have a smooth cash flow to run their business efficiently. And this also allows them to increase their business and revenue with the help of these trade finance. Without this, a company might fall behind on payments and lose a key customer or supplier that could have a long-term ramification for the company as a whole. There are different types of letter of credit. Commercial document letter of credit are standby letter of credit, secured letter of credit, revocable letter of credit, irrevocable letter of credit, two types. One is confirmed, one is unconfirmed. Then revolving letter of credit, red clause letter of credit, green clause letter of credit. And most important factor behind a letter of credit is that there are funded or unfunded LCs or letter of credits. First of all, there is a letter of credit where payment is at site. This is a legal contract to describe when payment is to be made. Seller might place an on-site at sight clause in a contract to demand full payment at sight. These transactions are frequently part of the sale of exports. Seller or exporter of goods might be paid through what is called a sight letter of credit or a letter of credit at sight. Means that seller will be paid at sight upon satisfying the requirements of the letter of credit, and this kind of transaction offers protection for both the buyer and seller, because payment is guaranteed to the seller but is only released once the goods are accounted for by the buyer. A fully funded documentary letter of credit. Of course, nowadays this is very rare. A fully funded documentary letter of credit is a LC from a financial instrument that is backed by funds held in a separate account. It is an LC in which the funds are held in a separate escrow account by the bank. Buyers using FFDLC may deposit some of their own funds and require funding from a financial institution for the remainder of the finance. Overall, this provides an assurance to the seller that buyer has got the necessary funds for this transaction, as it proves that buyer has transferred cash to a separate account. With this, buyer does not have to risk sending payment to the seller without knowing whether or not goods have actually been shipped. Why? Because banks will take the guarantee. The proof of shipment is being given to the bank by the seller or exporter, and then only payment is being made. You know, thank you.